Before we get to any of the content or the thoughts in our message this morning, just by way of introduction, again, we're using that word happy. When we think of happy new year or happiness that we want to have in this new year, really happiness is very simple. Because if we have Christ, we can have happiness because of who we possess, right? So having Christ is really having happiness. I'll say it this way this morning by way of, I guess, saying it another way. No one is ever going to be truly satisfied without knowing Christ and having Christ in their life. He is the starting point of this happiness that we talk about. And I think about how that we just celebrated his birth. We just went through the Christmas season where our minds were concentrated on the fact that he left the glories of heaven, came down here to this earth, and was willing to be the sacrifice for us. He truly, as Ron Hamilton wrote the words that's in our hymnal, he truly was born to die, wasn't he? And so we just celebrated that Christmas season, and we think about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, all by way of introduction, think about how that all the phases of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ would be a source of joy for us as a Christian. So that's why we say happiness is found in Jesus Christ. Think about the different phases of his life and how that those phases of his life would be the source of joy for a Christian. First of all, his virgin birth. Jesus, born of a virgin, the promised Messiah came, right? Now that brings happiness. That's a source of joy for a Christian, right? But then think about his virtuous life that he lived. So not only his virgin birth, this promised Messiah coming, but then the virtuous life that Jesus lived while he was here on earth. He healed all that needed healing. He helped all that needed help. He came on this to this earth and lived a sinless and a spotless life. And so we're not only finding our source of joy in the Christian life from the virgin birth of our Savior and that phase of his life, and then his virtuous life that he lived, but we also find a source of joy in his vicarious death that he died for us. You think about the sacrificial death of our Savior, where he died to pay for all man's sins. The Bible talks about how he entered into the holy place once for all. God so loved the world. He loved everybody, didn't he? And so we rejoice and we find joy not only in the virgin birth and the virtuous life of Jesus Christ, but his vicarious death as well. But then how about this? The good news doesn't stop with his death in the tomb, does it? We go on to the next phase of his life, and that is his victorious resurrection. See, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. I had a man that came up to me yesterday at McDonald's. Now, it was right after he had had a long conversation with Miss Linda Heflin. She was sitting in McDonald's right after we had visited. We stopped by McDonald's for a few moments, and we were in there, and Miss Linda, I walked in, and she was having a long conversation with this man. I'm telling you, he was telling her all about these unique things. And then after she left, he turned to me, and he was telling me a few things. But then he brought up our Savior, and I thought, man, I'm willing to talk about this. And so he started talking about God's love. And he said, you know, I'm thinking about this time of year. He said, I'm thinking about how that Jesus died on the cross for me. And I thought, man, this is great. This is a great conversation to have. And he said, yeah, I'm thinking about how Jesus died on the cross. He said, but if it would have stopped there, he said, that would have been some sad news. But he said, it didn't stop there, did it? I said, no. He victoriously rose from the grave, didn't he? And we are thankful that we serve a risen Savior. He overcame death, didn't he? And he overcame sin and hell and the grave. And so we rejoice in his victorious resurrection. So not only his virgin birth and his virtuous life and his vicarious death and his victorious resurrection, but also his visible ascension. Think about how the Bible tells us he visibly ascended and returned into heaven after he had risen from the grave. You say, all right, well, how is that a source of joy for us? Because we have a promise of his visible return again for us someday. And that is a source of our joy that he is going to visibly return one day for his people. And the Bible tells us we're going to get to meet the Lord in the air. So I said all that to say this, happiness comes with salvation, doesn't it? with knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we think about and consider the different phases of His life and how that brings us a source of joy or rejoicing in our life. But here's the thought that we want to remember today. This happiness that we find in salvation must be maintained in our Christian life. We can go back to that day we put our faith and trust in Him and we say, what great joy on that day that I put my faith and trust in Him. But I need to maintain this happiness in my Christian life. And so that's what I want to encourage you with today. What is it that's going to bring us happiness in this new year? How are we going to be able to maintain this happiness? When we tell people that little phrase, Happy New Year, are you going to have a Happy New Year? Is there going to be happiness in your new year? How can we maintain this happiness that God wants us to have? What will bring happiness in our life? I want to present to you a couple things this morning that I think will truly bring happiness in our life as we move into the year of 2024. I want you to notice number one, and we've got several Bible verses we're going to look up this morning. I hope you'll take the time to journey through the scripture with me. Number one, I want us to notice happiness through fellowship. Number one, happiness that God wants to give us in the year of 2024 through fellowship. You say, all right, well, what do you mean by fellowship? We're going to break it down by sharing with you this morning several things that ought to be true of our fellowship and this happiness that God wants us to have in our fellowship. Number one, fellowship with our Savior. Number one, fellowship with our Savior. Now, the Bible talks about this a little bit in 1 John chapter 1. And again, I trust that you'll take the time to look at these Bible verses. And if I get there and move on, I trust you'll be patient with me there. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible talks about the fellowship that we need to have with our Savior. You want to have happiness through fellowship in this new year? You need to have fellowship with the Savior. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as He... That's Jesus is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Here's the idea. God says, I want to have fellowship with you. And the only way we can have fellowship one with another is if we are walking in the light as He is in the light. Now notice this at the end of the verse. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, by the way, not some sin. He says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All of our sin in the past, all of our sin in the present, and all of our sin in the future. Aren't you thankful that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're never going to have to give an account for your sin because God has forgiven it in the past, in the present, and the future. But He's saying, I want you to have fellowship with Me. You walk in the light as He walks in the light, and you'll have fellowship one with another. Now, what do we mean when we talk in the Bible about fellowship with the Savior? What do we mean by that? Well, there's a couple different thoughts. Number one, we ought to walk with Him. We ought to walk with Him. The Bible teaches us clearly that one of the ways that the Bible describes our fellowship with God is our walk that we have with Him. That communion with Him every single day. Fellowshipping with our Savior. As a matter of fact, the Bible even uses that word right here in this verse that we just brought up. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. But if we walk, there's the word, walk. We've got to walk in the light as He is in the light. So this thought about happiness through fellowship. We need to have fellowship with the Savior. We need to be walking with Him. By the way, the Bible has a lot to say about walking, especially when it comes to that thought of fellowshipping with the Savior. The Bible says in the book of Romans that we are to, after we get saved, we are to walk in newness of life. Now that's how we have fellowship with our Savior, right? We're walking in newness of life. The Bible also goes on to talk about how that we need to walk by faith. That's a good thing, right? Walk by faith. And then the Bible tells us that we're to walk in truth. It says we're to walk in the Spirit. By the way, if you walk in the Spirit, the Bible says in the book of Galatians, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you walk in the Spirit. The Bible teaches us how that we're to walk in love. Then it tells us how we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith God hath called us. We're to walk in wisdom. By the way, we need wisdom in the days that we are living in today, don't we? We need spiritual wisdom and guidance for our lives. We're to walk in wisdom. By the way, all of this as a thought of walking with our Savior. Then we're to walk, I love what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, we're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but He says as wise. We're to walk as wise children of light, the Bible says. Then the Bible says we're not to walk after the flesh, but we're to walk The Bible says this in the book of Colossians. Walk, it says, ye in him. Walk ye in him. Walking with our Savior every day, having fellowship with him. So this idea of fellowship with the Savior, number one, it applies to walking with him. But then number two, I thought about this. The Bible says, and we're not going to take the time to turn there, but in John chapter 15, the Bible talks about the vine and the branches, right? Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And what is a word that happens over and over and again in John chapter 15? It's the word abide. See, we've got to abide in the Savior, don't we? We've got to be abiding in him. And so the Bible talks about how that we're not going to bring forth fruit unless we are abiding in him. So having fellowship with him could apply to the walk that we have with him. It could also apply to the fact that we need to be abiding in Jesus Christ. Now remember that story in Luke chapter number 15. The Bible gives us three things in Luke chapter 15 that are lost, right? We've got a lost coin, we've got a lost sheep, and we have a lost son. Now think about that prodigal son. How that prodigal son went away from the father and his fellowship with his father was not what it should have been. But then the Bible says he came to himself, didn't he? And when he came to himself, what was true of the father? The father was back home waiting for him, wasn't he? As a matter of fact, if we read the passage well enough, I think that the Bible's trying to teach us there that the father's looking for the son to come back every day. He's waiting for him to come back. The Bible says this about our hearts and lives when it comes to our fellowship with the Savior. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that means if your fellowship is not what it should be with the Savior, you need to make sure you deal with whatever it is that's standing in your way as you move into 2024 so that you can have sweet fellowship with the Savior. But we're going to have happiness in fellowship number two, not only with the Savior, but we want to have happiness in fellowship in the Scripture as well. In the Scripture. So not only fellowship with the Savior, but fellowship in the Scripture, in the Word of God as well. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May I encourage you this morning, just like I already encouraged our adult Sunday school class, that we need to be reading the Word of God in the year of 2024. May we have fellowship in the Scriptures. May we make sure that this book is the source that we go to for our light, for our path, and the lamp for our feet. Let's be reading it every day, spending time communicating with God as He speaks to us from this book that He has given to us. So you'll find happiness in fellowship with the Savior. You'll find happiness in fellowship in the Scriptures, but then you'll also find happiness in fellowship in His sanctuary. Think about how that we must have our church and attendance in our church as a priority as we enter into the year of 2024. The Bible says in Psalm 122 and verse number 1, it's a verse I already quoted this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now we use that word glad to describe what happens when we go into the house of the Lord. It reminds us of this subject today, happiness, right? I'm glad when I get to go into the house of the Lord. So may we not only have fellowship with the Savior and fellowship in the Scriptures, but let's have fellowship through the sanctuary as well, in the house of God. Church attendance is vitally important in your life as a child of God. It is vitally important. And by the way, the Bible describes it this way, it is of utmost importance, especially as the day of Christ's coming draws near. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, it says these words, it says, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He doesn't say so much the less, he says so much the more. Let's make sure that so much the more church attendance and having fellowship in the sanctuary of God with His people is important to us as we move into the year of 2024. But then I also thought about fellowship with the saints as well. Fellowship with the saints as well. Oh, isn't it special to have times in which we can fellowship with one another? Our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it wasn't too long ago when one of my daughters asked me, they said, why do you refer to such and such as brother? And then they gave his name. I can't remember exactly which one of you they were talking about. But they said, why do you refer to him as brother? I said, because that's my brother in Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful to have fellowship with the saints, with the brothers and sisters that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the Bible speaks about this. Would you turn to Psalm 133 for a moment? Psalm 133. And look at what the Bible says starting in verse number 1. Psalm 133 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now that's a short psalm, but he's saying how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What's God trying to tell us in Psalm 133? He's trying to tell us it's a good thing for God's people to have fellowship. As a matter of fact, I've brought it up many times, but at the very beginning of the book of Acts, when we're learning about the early church, what do we say was one of the important ingredients of the early church? They had fellowship one with another. It is so important. It is vitally important as we move into this opportunity of 2024 that God has this door open for us to move into, that we have fellowship with the saints. By the way, it's not just about having the fellowship that he addresses here, but it's also that we would dwell together in unity. As a church, there needs to be unity amongst us as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's serve God and have that sweet fellowship in unity one with another. But right before we move from this thought about fellowship with the saints, there are two verses that I want to read to you quickly in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, because the Bible tells us the dangers of fellowshipping with the wrong kind of people. Now we're talking about how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren, those that are saved, those that are believers, to dwell together and to fellowship together in unity. But the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. It says these words here to us. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? He's addressing the dangers of fellowship with the wrong kind of people. May it be that we are fellowshipping with the brethren, and we're dwelling together in unity. He even goes on in verse number 17 of that chapter to say this: wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So let's remind ourselves there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 of the dangers of fellowship with the wrong kind of people, and let's be fellowshipping with the saints and the brethren as we come together in the year of 2024. But here's the second thought that I want to share with you today that'll bring happiness in our lives as we move into this year. Not only number one, happiness in fellowship, but number two, I want us to notice happiness in fighting. You say, wait a minute, what do you mean? We're to be together in unity, but then we're to be fighting one another? No. We're talking about what the Bible says when it talks about fighting the good fight of faith. You know, the Bible lays out that passage of Scripture for us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. Paul is trying to encourage his young son, Timothy, in the faith. And he said, Timothy, you're living in a day in which you're going to face challenges and you're going to face battles. We're living in a day as we enter into 2024 where we're going to face challenges and we're going to face battles. And just like Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, the same thing should be echoed to us today, that we are to fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy that when we trusted Christ as our Savior, we were placed into the army of God as His soldiers. We are soldiers in His army, and we are fighting in the army of the Lord. And by the way, I'm thankful to be in that army. And I hope you would say that along with me today. You're happy to be in the army of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So not only should we fight the good fight because we're in a battle, But we should fight the good fight because we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Verse number 4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Man, isn't it wonderful that God has chosen us to be soldiers? And we are in the army of the Lord. I love that song that we'll sing occasionally on the church bus. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. And aren't you thankful as a child of God to be in the army of the Lord? Now listen, if we're not fighting as a soldier of the Lord, we're going to be defeated, aren't we? And the Bible talks about that a little bit in the book of Ephesians because it talks about armor that God wants us to have. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here's what God's trying to tell us. There is going to be a battle out there. And as a soldier, you've got to fight, but you're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not to be fighting against one another, but he says we are fighting against Satan. We're fighting against God's enemies. Well, you say, how do you define the enemies of God? The Bible clearly lays them out for us. We've got the enemy of the world, and we've got our old flesh, and we've got the devil, and they're wanting to war against us, and we're only going to find happiness in the year of 2024 if we are fighting the good fight of faith that God has laid out for us. The Bible says he's given us this armor. Verse 13, wherefore taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, he gives us these pieces of armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, God has given us armor in this battle. God has given us protection. God has given us provision. And so how are we to fight in this battle? How are we to fight as soldiers? Can I present to you a few things this morning? Number one, we've got to fight sin, don't we? We've got to fight sin. You know, the Bible talks a little bit about that in the book of Hebrews. And by the way, real quickly, let me say this about sin. You have sinned in the past, and you will sin in the future. There's no way of saying, well, wait a minute, I don't need to fight that. I'm pretty much past that area of sin in my life. We're never going to get there, are we? We're always going to have times in which we will sin. We've got to fight sin. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, it says that when we are running the race, we are to run with patience the race that is set before us, and we're to lay aside every sin, the Bible says, which doth so easily beset us. Now, if we're in this race, and we're running in this Christian race, and we're to run it with patience, he gives us some challenges that ought to be applied to our life. He says, you got to lay aside the sin. Because if you're not laying aside the sin, it's going to easily beset you. So we have sinned. We're going to sin in days to come. But can I say this? You don't have to allow that sin to have victory over you, though. You can determine as you move into the year of 2024 that I'm going to, with God's help this year, I'm going to fight sin so that sin does not have victory over me. And by the way, that's when you'll find your true happiness, when you're fighting sin. Notice the Bible says this in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I hope these verses will be an encouragement to you as we think about fighting sin and having victory over sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 11, it says this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. What's he trying to say? He's trying to say sin does not have to have victory over you. It does not have to control you. You can have victory over sin as you enter into the year of 2024. And God says the only way that's possible is if we're fighting sin and we're desiring to have that victory over it. It's possible to have victory over sin if we're desiring that and we're fighting that sin. Notice if we drop down to verse number 14, he says this, for sin shall not have dominion over you. God does not want sin to have victory over you. But instead, he wants you to have victory over sin. So let's fight sin. You say, how am I supposed to do that? Well, you've got to learn to confess it. Learn to confess it. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. We're confessing our sin. We're forsaking our sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, we can either fight sin and have victory over it, or we can allow sin to have victory over us, and we can be completely defeated. And you know the way that you'll do that is when you get into a practice of just blaming your sin on somebody else, or covering your sin, or just ignoring it, or excusing it away. God says, don't use those as options, but instead learn to confess and forsake it. Number two, the second way in which we need to fight, as if we're going to have happiness in the year of 2024, number one, we need to fight sin. Number two, we need to fight slackness in our life. Fight slackness. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Matthew. I want you to notice this. Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read verse number 12. Matthew 24 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What's he meaning there? He's saying because of iniquity, the love of many is going to wax cold. What does he mean when he says that our love is going to wax cold? He's saying that we will become indifferent. We will become apathetic. We will become slack to the point where we do not care. Can I encourage you to fight slackness in your life so that you're not at a point in your Christian life where you're just apathetic, or at a point where you're indifferent, or you're at a point where you just don't care? I remember, and I told this illustration many times over the years where I taught teenagers, the illustration of a time where I met a guy, and this was many, many, many years ago, and no matter what you said to him, he just had the habit of just saying, psh, I don't care. And that was literally just the attitude he took on in life. He would just throw his hands up and say, psh, I just don't care. And sadly, sometimes we can become that way in our Christian lives. We become apathetic. We become indifferent. We become complacent. We become slack in our lives. And maybe it's gotten in your life to the place where you say, I'm just coasting on what I used to do for God. I'm just thinking about what I used to do for God and not what He wants me to do now or what He continues to want me to do. Listen, that displeases God when we're indifferent and we don't care and we're apathetic and we're slack in our lives. God says, don't let our love wax cold, but press on to do all that God wants you to do in days to come. Oh, it reminds me of Philippians chapter 3 when the apostle Paul said, I forget those things which are behind. And he says, I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May we always be pressing on to reach forward to do greater and more things for the Lord, not just apathetic or indifferent or having this don't care attitude or slackness in our life. Let's fight slackness. Number three, let's learn to fight struggles. Let's learn to fight struggles. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But it goes on to that verse to say, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. Here's the idea. We're to fight struggles that we have. When we enter into the year of 2024, we would all be honest with ourselves enough to say that there are going to be some struggles that lie ahead. There are going to be some trials that are going to come my way. There are going to be some temptations that come my way. But here's what God is saying in His Word. He's saying He is faithful. And here's the thought that God gives to us. There is strength to overcome. There is strength to overcome whatever it is that you say is your struggle or your temptation or your trial or your shortcoming or your besetting sin. Whatever it is, God says there is strength to overcome. God does not put more on us than we are able to bear. God will always have sufficient grace, won't He? It reminds us of that passage of Scripture when Paul said, or when God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, did you notice God did not apply that to our strength? He talked about his strength. See, if we try to rely upon our strength to help us to overcome our struggles, we'll fail and fall every time. But may we fight struggles with the strength that God gives us. Here's a challenge from the Word of God. The Bible says these words: where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. May we ask God to help us fight our struggles. But then I thought about this as well this morning. We need to fight Satan this year. We need to fight Satan. Hey, if we're going to have happiness through fighting, we're going to have to fight Satan. The Bible says this of Satan. It says we're to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, is walking about, and he's seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in the very next verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. It's telling us that we need to fight against the devil. We need to resist him. He is our adversary. He's that roaring lion that is seeking to deceive us and to destroy us. He knows that his time is short. He knows that his time is running out. And so he's fighting, and he's seeking to destroy, and you've got to overcome and fight Satan. Here's another thought this morning. As we move into 2024, let's fight selfishness. Let's fight selfishness. When we move into this door and window of opportunity that God gives us to move into this new year, listen, it's not all about us. It's not all about us. It's all about our Savior. Let's fight selfishness. Let's fight pride that sometimes can creep into our lives. I thought of the Bible verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse number 5, the Bible says these words at the very end of the verse. It says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. See, God doesn't want us to live in a selfish way where it's all about us and all about what we can accomplish for our good and our glory. It's about putting Him first and humbling ourselves enough to do that. He says in the next verse, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Would you fight selfishness as we move into the year of 2024? And then one last one, let's fight slothfulness. Let's fight slothfulness. The Bible says in the book of Romans, what a challenge we have here in Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to take the time to read it, just a short verse, but I hope it'll encourage you. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 11, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's not be slothful this year. By the way, I'll say it this way. There is no excuse for laziness in the life of a Christian. There is absolutely no excuse for laziness in the life of a Christian. With laziness comes sin, and that's exactly what the devil desires. Let's not be slothful. Let's fight slothfulness and laziness in our life. As a matter of fact, Paul is the challenge for us here. Because Paul was able to say at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day. And he says, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Here's what Paul's saying. I got to the finish line. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I didn't get lazy and fall off along the way. I got it done for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Hey, let's fight slothfulness. But the last way that we can have happiness in the year of 2024, we talked about having happiness through fellowship, having happiness through fighting, but then lastly, God wants us to have happiness through following. Through following. You say, all right, what am I to follow as I move into the year of 2024? Number one, let's follow God's call. Let's follow God's call. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples when he was calling them? Remember, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. See, God wants to call you in some special way so that you can be his follower and complete whatever it is that he desires for you to do. Your duty is to find the will of God and his calling for your life and do it to the best of your ability. But sadly, there might be some that are sitting here today and you would say, I'm truly not fulfilling the call God has for me. There's something he wants me to do and I'm still standing outside of that. I haven't fulfilled all that God wanted me to do. When you move into the year of 2024, would you follow God's call? As we follow Him, He'll make us and He'll mold us into what He wants us to be for His honor and His glory. It reminds me of Jeremiah chapter 18, when Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. What did Jeremiah find out in the potter's house? He found out that he was the clay and God was the potter. And God wants to, as we are fulfilling His calling in our lives, He wants to mold us and make us into what He wants us to be. So number one, we're to follow God's call. But number two, would you follow God's command? Would you follow God's command? Now, I'm not going to take the time to read this passage of Scripture. I have it written down here, Matthew chapter number 22, if you want to look it up later, verse 37 and verse 39. I'm not going to read it, number one, for sake of time, but number two, because Brother Randy Merrill, when he was here a couple weeks ago, he helped us with this in a great way. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter number 22 that the greatest commandment that God could give us is to love Him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our being. And then he goes on in verse number 39 to say this, love your neighbor just as you love yourself. See, that's God's command for us, isn't it? God's command is that with our entire being, we have our complete love for God. In the year of 2024, would you commit to following God's command to love Him with all of your being and have love for others as well? As a matter of fact, that's one of the proofs of being a disciple of Jesus, right? We are known for the love that we have one for another. Let's love each other the way we should. Let's make sure we love God the way we should. Follow God's call. Follow God's command. But can I encourage you also to follow God's commission? Follow God's commission. Throughout the Word of God and the Gospels, Jesus gives us what we call the Great Commission, doesn't He? Really, we could narrow that Great Commission down to one word, couldn't we? We would say the Great Commission is the word go. We are to go, aren't we? I'm so thankful that in our church here, we have so many ministries that give us opportunities to be soul winners. This Tuesday, we're going to meet at the Public School Bible Club. This Wednesday, we're going to have two Bible clubs that we're going to meet together with. This morning, we got up on a church bus and we rode a church bus into church, an avenue where we can share the gospel with people. Can I ask you this? And I want you to truly evaluate this in your heart as you move into the year of 2024. As your pastor, I'm desiring that you do this. In what way are you involved in the Great Commission? How are you involved in the Great Commission? If we're going to follow God's commission, we got to be involved in it. All throughout the Gospels, He gives us His Great Commission. Then in Acts, He tells us that we are to reach our Jerusalem and all our and Samaria and Judea and all the uttermost part of the world. We're to reach the world, the entire world, with the gospel. What way are you involved in the Great Commission? Would God have you to do something else to follow Him in the Great Commission that He gives? I hope that you'll be involved in being a witness and witnessing to the lost. Maybe perhaps it would be that the year of 2024 would be a year you'd get involved with our soul winning opportunities we have here. Maybe some type of a soul winning ministry. Maybe it would be the year that you would make a decision to say, I'm going to give in the Faith Promise Missions offering so that I can reach people with my finances that are in different countries that don't have the finances to get the work done, but we can reach them right here in Boonesboro as we send our financial gift to them. How would you be involved in the Great Commission? The last thought I wanted to give you, and we'll finish with this morning, is this: to follow God's character as well. We're following God's call, we're following His command, we're following His commission, and we're following His character as well. The Bible says this in the book of 1 Peter. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. God wants us to grow to be more like Him every day, and His character is one of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness, and He desires that we have the very same character in our lives. Do you have God's character in your life? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6, I'm going to close with this verse. It says these words, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. Just as Jesus walked, we are to walk. Would you follow God's character in your life as well as we move into the year of 2024? Now, you've probably already said it to somebody. You're probably going to hear it at some point over the next few hours. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Well, will your new year be happy? And will you have happiness in the new year? May I encourage you today that that happiness will come through these things that we talked about here this morning, through our fellowship, and then through fighting the good fight of faith, and then as we are following our Savior each step of the way. Father, I pray that if you've spoken to hearts this morning, I pray that we would do whatever it is that you'd have us to do, whatever you'd call upon us to do this morning.